In the fourth chapter of the book of Judges, we read these words: "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." Here we see the Israelites in extreme distress, their independence gone, a great heathen power overshadowing and oppressing them by military violence. All means of resistance was at an end. Their princes, slaves. Their warriors, cowed down. Their leaders, timid and dispersed. But the time of deliverance had come. And who were they that should break the iron yoke and let the oppressed go free? Who were they before whom the mighty heathen hosts should melt away, the iron chariots be burned with fire, the invincible captain Sisera would be laid low in death? 2 women. The Bible tells us that Deborah judged Israel at that time. This woman was a woman of God, a woman that God talked to and talked through. She was a wise woman. She was a woman that God had given the wisdom to judge his people. The Bible says that the people of Israel came to her for judgment. And in the wisdom that God gave her, she issued out wise and just judgment. And so it was that Deborah, this wise judge of Israel, called Barak and said, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go, draw up towards Mount Tabor, take 10,000 men with you, and I will draw unto you to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and I will deliver him into your hand." When Deborah told Barak this story, he said, "I won't go unless you go with me." Deborah said, "I'll go with you, but I'm going to tell you up front, you will not get the praise for killing Sisera, because Sisera will be delivered into the hands of a woman." And sure enough, we read in this same chapter that God discomfited Sisera and all of his chariots and all of his hosts, so that Sisera got down off of his chariots and fled on foot. He fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the Kenite. Jael invited him in, and it was there, in the tent of a woman, that he met his death. You can read it for yourself in verse 23 of chapter 4. "So it was 2 women, one known only for her prophetic speech and her skills in civil judgment, the other an alien belonging to a weak and broken tribe of foreigners, the one filled with the Spirit of God, awakens the sleeping spirit of Barak and 10,000 of her countrymen, and urged them to battle and to victory. The other, alone, unaided, with her single hand, slays the leader of an unnumbered army. The people are set free from their oppressors and have rest for 40 years. The lesson that is impressed upon me when I read this chapter is the variety and the strangeness of the method of God's deliverance, especially that God's strength is made perfect in human weakness. He ordained strength in the hands of weak women, as well as out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. God will always find a way to deliver His people. It may not always be the way we think it should be. It may not come from whom we think it should come. Yet we should never be surprised at the way God has chosen to deliver His people. It may be a shepherd with nothing but a slingshot, or it could be a person with only a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, a word from the Lord that would bring about a delivering force. So when I talk about the exploits of Iraq, I could not honestly do so without mentioning the fact that there was two women that participated in the victory. In chapter 5, we find Barak and Deborah singing and dancing and celebrating the great victory. They were honoring God and giving Him the praise. They were honoring the woman in the tent that killed Sisera with the hammer and the nail. They had reason to rejoice. They had been oppressed for 20 years, and now they were rid of the yoke of the Canaanites. They were celebrating, dancing, praising God, praising the woman that killed Sisera. But in the 28th verse of chapter 5, I'm introduced to another woman that played a major role in the life of Sisera. I'd like for you to read it for yourself, beginning at verse 28. This is the story, the sad story of the atrocities of war. Every time a soldier is killed, there's always someone somewhere that's weeping. Every time a soldier dies, there's someone somewhere that laments his death. And verse 28 and 29 and 30 is one of the saddest stories that I have ever read in the Bible. Verse 28 says that the mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Have they not sped? Have they not divided the spoil?" What a sad picture. A picture of a mother waiting for a son that may never return. A mother thinking that her son is well and victorious, but in reality, he is dead. When I read that, it just broke my heart. I had been rejoicing with Barak and Deborah. I had been thanking God for the victory, and I still do. But when I read this, my celebration kind of quietened down a little bit as I thought on this story of Sisera's mother. It caused me to see the other side of the battle. It made me realize how terrible war really is. During a war, there's people that die on both sides. There's celebration and there's lamentation. We celebrate the victory, yet we mourn those who died to give us this victory. And on the losing side, those who are not celebrating the victory are only mourning their dead. Oh, the atrocities of war. Why can't we just all get along? I would like for us to all live in peace. But as long as there is the evil one, it will never happen. Because he comes only to kill, to steal, and destroy. I'm going to end the lesson on Barak. I urge you to read for yourself Judges chapter 4 and 5 and get acquainted with Barak, Deborah, and Jael. And don't forget to read verse 28, 29, and 30 in the 5th chapter. You'll get to meet Sisera's mother.